T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spoiler alert, Dallas Keuchel's not sorry. He's sorry he got caught. It's what it is. That's semantics is what it is. Willie P is in the house on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. I'm already getting texts being like, you shouldn't have left it on your phone. No, it's so that's the problem, is that if you do anything, and we were talking about this earlier, a buddy of mine's getting or trying to get engaged, and he's asking me for engagement ring advice, and obviously I'm providing it and doing a terrible job because he and I are in a big disagreement about what exactly he wants and what he thinks she wants and whatnot. And all I have now on my Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and everything is ads for engagement rings. And of course it's prompting some discussion in the house, if you know what I mean. It's prompting some discussion. And I have to be like, it's not for you, it's for my friend. He's getting engaged, whatnot. So it's already been a day. Let's put it that way. It's already been a day. Hello, everybody. Will Pelagic here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The telephone number is 404-741-0929. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Very much looking forward to our Game Bowl, 4th annual Paper Football Championship. Later today, Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs will be out there from 7 until 11. Registration, if you are a player or want to be a player as an alternate, begins at 5:30, so be sure to be there at that time. More information is available on our website, 929thegame.com. We'll be broadcasting live starting at 5 tonight. John Chucker will be on the air from 5 until 7, followed by John and Hugh, Dukes and Bell, yours truly, and Jason Longshore, as well as Andy and Randy. Longshore is going to join me coming up about 50 minutes from now. We'll talk about Atlanta United, and also I'll try to pick his brain on some other things with regards to our five stripes. We're basically back in action currently. They played a closed-door scrimmage yesterday. Learned a little bit from it, but not much. We'll try and pick Jason's brain to see if he learned anything more than what was published publicly. We'll talk a little bit more about the Braves, what I would call the strategic misfire of picking Marcelo Zuna over Josh Donaldson, and why I don't think it was a good idea, coming up about a half hour from now. Senior Bowl is going on in Mobile today and has been going on throughout this week. Something that Charles Davis said yesterday on the midday show that I found very poignant is that Mobile becomes a bit of a ghost town on Saturday for the actual game because a lot of the players opt out of playing in the game. The practices and the meetings with teams a lot more important than actually playing in the game itself. One of the guys who really was the big gainer was a guy like Javon Kinlaw. But the one thing that allowed Falcons fans to kind of get their britches in a tizzy, if you will, was the chatter about the two big free agents that basically are Falcon targets right now, or might not be Falcon targets, depending on how you look at it, both Devondre Campbell and Austin Hooper. Thomas Dimitroff is at the Senior Bowl, and he talked about the fact that they might actually try to move up in the draft to get a pass rusher because of the fact that, well, after Chase Young and after Javon Kinlaw, there's not much that's there for them at 16.
And that's what I've heard. The pass rushing group is not that deep in that, you know, that Leo position. But I think there are some guys that have surfaced at a couple other places. As far as moving up, no one in this league, I don't think you can really operate if you're not aggressive enough.
A.J. Epineza is a guy that we've looked at over the course of the last couple of weeks, the kid out of Iowa. Chaseon out of LSU is another guy that has obviously been kind of in that range that the Falcons might be at. Is it worth it to take a guy like Javon Kinlaw? I don't know, because he's somebody who I think profiles more as a five technique, not something that would be similar to where Vic Beasley is. And again, five technique, somebody who lines up over the tackle as opposed to on the outside trying to rush from the outside. So because of that, I would think that if you're looking at somebody like that, he'd be somebody who you'd put more next to Grady, kind of in that position where Tyler Davidson was this past year. I still think you have to add somebody not only in the draft but also in free agency. Though where Atlanta is positioned in the first two rounds, TD does believe that the draft class overall is deep enough to get themselves situated pretty well with three starters in the opening 55 picks.
We're hoping that we could have a really productive group again and try to be creative with how we go about it. I mean, that third pick, I think it came out at 55, which is good for us, of course. So, yes, I think it's a possibility.
And that was about the best it could have gotten because of the fact that the Patriots were eliminated in the opening round of the postseason. So they got very, very lucky with where that fell. So send some fruit baskets to Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans on that one. I think that priority A of the guys who were here last year is Devondre Campbell. I don't think you can put a price on what he means to this defense, not just from a ability to cover, but also an ability to be a ball hawk, that kind of standpoint. Between him and Deion Jones, I think you're set at linebacker because you are very rarely, if at all, using three linebackers on the field anymore. And that's something, too, that people talk a lot about, what is your base defense? Your base defense really isn't a base defense anymore. It really just kind of comes down to what personnel package the offense is playing at a given time. A lot of these guys will use personnel where they'll use four wide receivers a lot. And I think that that's something the Falcons on offense should adopt themselves, which is why I'd be more inclined to keep Campbell and jettison Austin Hooper, because this wide receiver class is deep to where I think in any round you can get a guy who can be that third or fourth wide receiver. If you believe that Gage is your third wide receiver, I'd almost rather trust a guy you'd get as a rookie as a fourth wide receiver to be on the field and maybe play a little bit more what they call 10 personnel, one running back, no tight ends. Play it like that. I'm not saying you go completely air raid, but open things up a little bit more for Matt Ryan in that regard so that maybe, just maybe, you can play a little bit more quick game and do more on the fly as opposed to these long, elongated pass routes that take forever to develop and get Matt Ryan sacked and make you vulnerable to things like a patchwork offensive line. Here is Thomas Dimitroff, who talked about Austin Hooper and the status of him, whether or not they will pursue him this offseason.
The tight end group, it's not a big group. There's some good football players there, but it's not a big group. Of course, I'm sure you guys are waiting to ask more about Mr. Hooper, and the reality right now is we're trudging along, and after the Super Bowl week, we'll continue to look and see how we're moving forward. But at this point, there's no updates on Austin.
Now, Devondre is somebody who they have been in contact with, so that is at least encouraging from the Falcons' standpoint. I know that the questions will be asked about Vic Beasley. I don't think the price point on him is going to allow the Falcons to be involved. So I think unless he's coming back at a significant discount from a year ago and on a shorter-term deal, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think he's looking for a long-term deal. I think he believes that in the second half of the season he was able to improve. That is a he belief. That is not a will belief. That is more from that. I personally would rather, I'd rather take Devondre. I'd rather take that. I'd jettison Hooper, and I'd try to open things up a little bit more with a fourth wide receiver. And again, no higher than like the fifth round. So I'm not saying you go and you do it at like the third round or something like that. I would do it in the fifth round because I think at that point you can address the pass rush. You can address left guard, you can address corner, defensive back, and you can address running back too. Because I also, people keep saying, these running backs, you got to get one of these running backs, whether it's, Jonathan Taylor or DeAndre Swift. Again, I don't think there's going to be a run on those guys early. Because every year, we see one of these late round guys blossom and bloom. And I also think you still need to figure out what Kadre Allison is. I would not be in favor of keeping free at the current price point that he's at, but I also think that you're going to maybe see him stay here under a restructured deal and try and kind of kick the can down the street with him when it comes to the cap number. You can't, they're limited by what they can do restructure wise because of the fact that you're in the final year of the CBA. You can't, even if they cut him, they can't split the money. They have to take all the dead money up front. So that part of it doesn't make it advantageous to cut him, but they can kind of do what they did with Matt and Grady's contracts, give him some more money up front, alleviate some cap room, and maybe sign somebody else, and that can open up the door there. But I personally think that we're looking at another year at least of Devontae, unfortunately. But I do think you have to be open to adding another running back and somebody who is maybe more of a complete back than what Kadri Allison has looked like in this first season of his, where he basically looked like TJ Duckett 2.0. Texter on the text line at 404-741-0929 says, if Matt Ryan is so good, why didn't he make the Pro Bowl? Not even other pros recognize him. That's from MK in Union City. Look, man, the Matt Ryan shade's got to stop, okay? The Matt Ryan shade that comes from Falcons fans is about as ungrateful as anything I've ever seen. Is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer right now? No. Will Matt Ryan, when he finishes his career, probably be in a position to be in the Hall of Fame? I would say yes, just based on the numbers and numbers alone. Does he have a ring? No. That obviously determines a heck of a lot. And I know that people are going to say, oh, well, all the numbers are inflated in this era of passing and things of that nature. The man has been good enough to where you've had that position secure for a long, long tenure in this franchise. And that counts for a lot, because if your quarterback position goes to heck in a handbasket and you have to reset, you have to count on one of two things. You either get a suitable enough bridge guy to keep you above water, or you got to be objectively bad and hope you get a pick that's in the top one, two, three, or four and be able to get a guy like a Joe Burrow or Tua when he was healthy. Because unless you get one of those guys, it's a lot harder to rebuild with the quarterback position than any other position in all of football. So don't give me this Matt Ryan is not good garbage. That to me is that will not be tolerated here. Willie P is in the house. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Atlanta United in training camp in Florida. Jason Longshore is going to join us to talk about the close scrimmage that they had yesterday with the New York Red Bulls and what is happening with the reimagined and redefined back line for the Five Stripes. When J-Lo joins us next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So we have our first candidate for somebody who poured whiskey in their cornflakes as opposed to milk. Texter from the 404 says, let's see if Cincinnati will take Matt Ryan for a trade for the first overall pick and get a more mobile quarterback in Joe Burrow. You know, if you put vodka in the Brita filter, it still comes out as vodka, just so you know. That it doesn't work that way. Just saying. Drugs are bad, MK. It is in that vein that we now welcome in the esteemed soccer analyst for our Atlanta United. Of course, Atlanta United played right here on 92.9 The Game. Jason Longshore joins us not only this morning, but about 11 hours from now, Jason, you and I will be on the air together. And they say we can talk about anything, not just soccer. So I hope you're bringing every little bit of the hot takes to the table tonight when you're with me tonight at Sandy Springs.
I'm not bringing takes as hot as that last one about Matt Ryan to Cincinnati, though.
That's okay. Good. I'm glad that
I
was,
don't have that take that hot.
That's way too hot. That has to stay in the kitchen, man. That has to stay in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to rehash the whole Gressel is not here thing. My biggest question to you is, how does that change tactically what Atlanta United wants to do, especially offensively?
Honestly, I don't think it changes much. I think you've got options if you want to play the shape that you got the best out of Julian Gressel, which was honestly the 3-5-2. I think even in a 3-4-3 where Gressel was a wing back and had a little bit more increased defensive responsibility, he wasn't as strong. He was at his best in a 3-5-2 where he had cover like Franco Escobar behind him as one of the center backs, and he also could hit that early cross. And that's where you see so many of Julian Gressel's assists come from. you have Brooks Lennon, who started on the wing in a 4-3-3, but can play that role and gives you a little bit more tactical flexibility, because Gressel was not a player that Frank DeBoer trusted as a right back in a line of four. Brooks Lennon has played that position quite a bit. So I think it's not going to change anything tactically. I think what you're going to look at is maybe a little less reliance on getting the ball out wide and looking for that early cross, more build-up play.
Jason Longshore, Atlanta United soccer analyst, joining us here as Atlanta United in the swing of training camp here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There seems to be, and I know you can't talk about specific players, but there seems to be a lot of people and a lot of murmurs about the fact that Atlanta United might not be done, that there might be an international player on the horizon. How much truth do you think there is there?
I don't think they want to be done, and that's a very different, you know, issue here. It's a transfer window, and we've seen how these have gone, both from Atlanta selling players, the whole Miguel Almiron saga, and bringing players in. If you go back to 2018, the hashtag Barco watch that had all kinds of twists and turns, with a deal being agreed upon and then club wanted more money and they had to renegotiate, and you get all kinds of different things happening. That's what happens this time of year, especially when you're looking at players out of South America, where their seasons are either getting restarted or they have that split season, the second half of the season's getting underway. Those windows are going to be open a little bit longer for South American clubs to bring in replacements too. So I think a lot of people are zeroed in on the European window ending on January 31st. It sounds like Atlanta's looking more in South America, and those windows stay open a little bit longer. They want to make a deal, but they're not in a position where they have to take a bad deal just because they need to fill a spot.
If there is a spot that needs to be filled, what do you think that is?
Central midfield. That's the one that Frank DeBoer's mentioned. It's the one that Carlos Bocanegra has mentioned. They've mentioned it as an eight specifically, which would be more of a box-to-box central midfielder. I think you might be able to get away with a player who slants a little bit more as a defensive midfielder, a little bit closer to a six. But what we've seen with all of the acquisitions this offseason is Atlanta United has targeted players who don't just play one spot. They want guys who have that flexibility to play a defensive role in the central midfield, a box-to-box, maybe even play as a number 10. A player like Emerson Hyndman can give you that. A guy like Brooks Lennon, who can play anywhere on the right side. The guys like Anton Walks can play anywhere on the back line. They want guys who have a variety of roles so Frank DeBoer can get this team where he wants. They can adjust in matches based off the opposition, based off the match situation.
Atlanta United soccer analyst Jason Longshore joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as Atlanta United underway with some closed-door scrimmages. They had one yesterday against the New York Red Bulls, a 2-1 victory. I know it's hard to draw conclusions from that when you're not able to see it, but what, if anything, were you able to draw?
Looked like a pretty good lineup to start things off, and a lineup that you could see from time to time this season. Mo Adams got the start in place of Jeff Lorenowitz. He had a little bit of a knee scope in the off season, so he's been getting, you know, back into the preseason mode a little bit slower. I think Mo Adams is a guy who could see more time this season. I really liked his development once he came over from Chicago last season. You also saw Brooks Lennon as a right winger, and that's another element to keep in mind that we could see. Tito Villalba did play. I think the Gressel move, more than anything, opens up a spot for Tito Villalba to get back to being that impact player that he has been here at different points. He especially was in 2017. Injuries have made it difficult for him to reach those heights on a regular basis. But he's going to have competition, and that's the number one thing I'm taking out of this group right now that's down in Florida, is you've got competition for spots. And there's been a lot of talk about Atlanta needing to go out and bring players in. You've got, you know, 2-3 deep battles at each position in each of the different tactical shapes that I think we'll see on a regular basis this season. It's a good spot to be in preseason.
Does Villalba going to central midfield kind of make it seem like they believe that even a guy like Adam John could be that reserve striker, somebody who could be like the microwave man in the 60th minute?
I think John could be that for sure. I think Villalba can be that too, but Villalba's going to have the opportunity on the right wing. That's where I think 4-3-3 is just a shape that I think we saw a good bit last year. I think the personnel you have right now is probably best suited for it. And it's a shape that you can evolve out of in a match pretty easily. You can make a lot of changes from it. So it wouldn't surprise me if that is a base that we see Atlanta play out of a lot. And that right wing spot where we've seen Julian Gressel over the years, we've seen Tito Villalba there over the years. Right now, I think it's Tito's to lose, but Brooks Lennon, if he's not playing in the back, he can play that role as well. That's where he played in Liverpool's academy and tried to earn a pro deal over there.
Yeah, I think about him the same way I think about Heinemann, you know, a buy-low guy with Euro experience who probably can commit to a role that fits him more on this side of the pond as opposed to in Europe.
Yeah, that's a good shout. I mean, those are two guys who the level of experience they're coming in with, especially tactically, and this is something that I just keep coming back to as I look at the way this team's being built. You hear the comments from Frank De Boer after the match yesterday. You know, the tactical intelligence is going to be a key thing this season. And when you have a guy like Heinemann, who's played in the Premier League, plays in the Scottish Premier League, and you have a guy like Lennon, who has done well in MLS, but also spent so much time in Liverpool's academy, they just have that tactical IQ that's going to be necessary to do everything that De Boer wants to do.
Talking with Jason Longshore, Atlanta United soccer analyst, as things begin to develop here. So take me through the next couple of weeks. I know that there's a couple of exhibition contests and then the CONCACAF Champions League. How does that alter the way this season starts for United as opposed to a typical MLS club at this time of the year?
I think a lot of different teams are edging more to playing preseason matches. We've seen in the past some teams maybe not play many matches in preseason. You're not approaching them in the same way. I mean, yesterday, I believe it was 3 30-minute periods, and you saw different groups in the different 30-minute periods. There were Atlanta United 2 players that were participating. There were Atlanta United Academy players participating. But you're trying to get the intensity of a match, and that was something that De Boer mentioned. I think it worked really well that it was Red Bulls first, because anytime those two teams are on the field together, you're going to get intensity.
Right.
And that's something that you need in preseason, because you can try to replicate it in a training session. It's hard. You need to play somebody else, and you've got two more closed door matches. I really like the match over in Birmingham on February 8th, which we'll have on the radio station, because it's in front of an audience, and it's in front of a team that's a lower division team, a team that you should be able to control that match, but a team that's going to be hungry to pull off an upset and get their season started the way they want. So you're going to have a little bit of extra pressure in that one as you get closer to CONCACAF.
What kind of level of competition will we see in CONCACAF? Is that you know, up a level for them, or is that on our level? How does that jive with where we're at?
I think it works out really well this year. Last year was a little trickier because Herediano from Costa Rica was coming off of a league title. They were very strong. Now, they'd made a coaching change, and that caused them some problems early in the season when they came to Atlanta. But Motagua is coming in after a third-place finish in Honduras in their most recent season, and they've lost a few key players going into this year. Now, they've started their season already, so they'll be more in match shape and match rhythm, but the level is definitely different between Herediano and Motagua. It's going to be tough to go down there and get a big result, but back here at Kennesaw, that should be a comfortable game for Atlanta. It's the next round is where it gets interesting, because if both favorites go through, it's Club America from Mexico.
Yeah.
And now that's not even just like Monterrey was last year, where it's a big team. Got a little bit of spice to it after Campeones Cup, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's the one I'm hoping that maybe doesn't come to pass, because, like you said, they'll be coming in a little hungry after what we did to them here at the Benz in the Campeones Cup a year ago. I have like 5 more that I want to ask you, but guess what? I get to see you tonight, so I can ask them then. So there you go.
This is true.
I'll see you out there at the bowling alley, and if we want to play paper football, we can once the opening rounds are done. So I might get in a couple of games with you if we can.
Sounds like a plan. I like this. It's gonna be fun tonight.
Jason Longshore, Atlanta United soccer analyst. Appreciate the time as always, and again, he'll be joining us tonight from 9 until 10 p.m. Part of a long broadcast evening. Chuckery is there from 5 to 7. John and Hugh will be there. Dukes and Bell, Andy and Randy, we're all there. 7-11 tonight. Stars and Strikes Sandy Springs. Come out and join us for the Game Bowl. Even if you're not playing, we'll have plenty of things for you guys to do. We'll have open laser tag. We're going to have bowling. Bunch of stuff getting in tonight at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. 404-741-0929. Did the Braves strategically err in your mind? I think they did. And I'll tell you why next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P. in the house, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Hope you're enjoying yourself on a Saturday morning. Honey-do list is all in going, and hope you're finding a way to get it all done. I really also hope that we get the warm weather back that, you know, started this month. I was really getting used to those 60-degree days instead of these 40- and 30-degree days. Yeah, I know. Atlanta's schizophrenic when it comes to weather. Don't you have to tell me twice. Another guy on the text line is angry about how, Falcons took your advice and played in weeks 15, 16, and 17 like they were playing for something, and now we're in a bad draft position. And I'm like, oh, gosh. Don't these people understand they have jobs, too? Like, this is not Madden. You can't make your team intentionally suck in order to get a draft pick. These people have livelihoods. You think they're going to play like crap on purpose? Come on, man. Think about any of the former players that we have here on the air and how ridiculous it seems whenever people bring up the whole tanking thing. Like watch Randy McMichael. I have the opportunity, and again, when you have the opportunity to watch stuff on our Watch 99 The Game page, look at Randy McMichael's face whenever somebody brings up tanking. Or look at Hugh Douglas's face. Look at Hugh Douglas's face anytime that happens. Hugh Douglas will sit there and tell you, man, don't tell me about the labor pains. Show me the baby. That's basically the way that he would roll at that. So don't give me that whole, we played bad enough to not make the playoffs, but good enough to not get a good draft pick. So I'm not there with you on that. I believe that there was a strategic misfire made by the Atlanta Braves. And I am not a big fancy stats guy. I can't quantify these things. I do not like war. I do not like VORP. I do not like all these other ones that, you know, people who are baseball nerds who have overtaken the game who will spout out. But I know wins above replacement is a thing that people really take a lot of stock in. There was about a 4-win difference between Josh Donaldson's 2019 and Marcell Ozuna's 2019. And the thing that they're trying to bank on with Ozuna is trying to rekindle what he was in 2017 when he had Giancarlo Stanton batting in front of him and had that protection. They feel like putting him behind Freeman is going to provide that same kind of output. That year he had 37 home runs and had 124 RBIs. Well, the thing is, Josh Donaldson did basically that with less RBI. He had 37 home runs, 94 driven in this past year behind Freddie Freeman. So they believe that having that is going to have the type of output with Ozuna that they can possibly have. But I will say this. You are not going to get, in my opinion, the same output at third base that you would have if you had re-signed Josh Donaldson. And I think you could have gotten a better output at whatever outfield spot Ozuna would not have played in, than you would at third base. I think your lineup as a whole is worse now than it would have been had you re-signed Josh Donaldson in 2020. In 2020. I know a lot of people did not want to commit to the years. And whether you believe the deal initially was for $70 million, or $75 million or $80 million, I understand all that. But my issue is you have a team that is built to win now, built to win today. And when you don't take care of today, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. I understand you don't want to sacrifice tomorrow. I understand you want to keep all these prospects. And I understand that you want to have money to pay them. And you can't be a luxury tax type team, or the ownership does not want to be a luxury tax type team. I understand all that. But I personally don't see the move on why they went to that particular way of thinking. Here's Alex Anthopoulos on why they pursued Osuna after losing out on Josh Bell.
We had identified him as what we felt was one of the more underrated players in free agency. 17, obviously, was the best year that he had. We think he's got the ability to get back there, at least close to it. Our priority was obviously trying to bring Josh Donaldson back. Once that wasn't going to happen, Osuna was still out on the market, and we had stayed in contact with him throughout the winter.
I just don't think they wanted him, honestly. I don't think they wanted him. That's my own opinion. And my whole thing too is that you're not going to get the combined output of Austin Riley and Johan Camargo is not going to equal what I think Adam Duvall would have done in the outfield or what Markakis would have done, depending on which outfield corner spot you put Osuna this upcoming season. 404-741-0929. Alexander wants to talk Braves on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, well, first, my apologies, man. Last time I called you JD. And so I want to correct your name, Mr. Willie P. So I apologize for that.
No problem, buddy.
I think what we're missing is that Alex Anthopoulos and me, myself, I'm believing that our team is going to take the next step to alleviate or ease the pain of losing Donald. You got to keep in mind, man, he was a one-year contract and that he was coming off injury. I'm not mad about the signing or lack of signing for Donaldson. And the Osuna for 1 year, it's really, if you really think about it, Alex Anthopoulos is doing one-year contracts to keep developing Acuna, Albies, and Swanson, and even Freeman. So I understand. We are really in win-now mode. The thing I think with the Braves, man, is that they have the talent now to win. I think really a biggest addition that we could have had is a number two or number one starter.
Right.
And that's where he has to go in as far as in the trade market.
But Xander, think about it from this way, though. What does signing Donaldson do? How does that hurt the guys you just mentioned? It doesn't do anything other than enhance their worth, I think.
Well, essentially you could say that. But when it really comes down to it, if we sign Josh Donaldson, then we're not signing him for the regular season. We're signing him for the postseason. And unfortunately, in his career with the A's, with the Blue Jays, Josh Donaldson has never been a career postseason guy you can count on. I think when it comes down to it, if we're going to give that type of money to that gentleman, I'd rather just keep the young core we have and let them develop through the playoffs. Because when you look at Washington, they got rid of their best player, a generational player, relied on another young generational player in Soto, and they just developed and got better. And guess what else they had? They had horses as far as the staff. So I completely understand. Donaldson was a veteran. But even him being a veteran, we need pitching. We need a 1-2 starter combination in the playoffs that can go against other teams. Because our lineup, man, top to bottom, I think we got the best lineup in the National League. But that's just simply my opinion.
I appreciate it, Alexander. Thank you so much for listening. I still think that there are holes. Even if you're trying to sell me on even Ender Inciarte, I think you're barking up a presumptuous tree. And again, there's a lot of what ifs. But what ifs could turn into positives and could turn into absolutes. But I see few absolutes outside of Acuna, Albies, and Freeman. And I don't even think you can count Osuna or even Swanson as an absolute right now. 404-741-0929. Some good news when it comes to baseball and its developmental leagues. It looks like things that were once dire might be safe. And I'll explain when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.